Do you believe he is coming?
Yeah. Are you living like he's coming? I don't think I heard one amen on that one. A lot of people say they believe he's coming, but there ain't a whole lot of people that live like he's coming. Which actually means they don't really believe he's coming. Because if they did, they would live like he was coming. You say, are you sure about that? That's what the Bible says. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. And that's exactly what the Bible says about that. But Jesus is coming. Whether we're ready or not, he's coming. I think I preached a message with that title. I remember when we were kids, we'd play hide and seek, and the one that was seeking, we'd get done counting, and we'd say, ready or not, here I come. And that's what the Lord's going to do, ready or not, here he comes. Could be today. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 20, if you would. Acts chapter 20. I've had these thoughts, or this story, this individual on my mind for a number of weeks now. And I feel like this is a time to deal with this passage of Scripture. Acts chapter 20. I want to encourage you two things. One is, I think that if you were not here Wednesday night, it would be good to get a copy of the message. And then, if you were not here on Mother's Day, you men need a copy of that message. We all need that. I've had several that say that has helped them, and I'm not saying that because I preached it, but I believe it's true, and I believe the Lord gave it to me, and so I trust that you'll try to get copies of those. We'll try to have some of those available for you. I also thought about Wednesday night. I need to go back and listen to that, but it just came to my mind. I may have, and I'm not positive I did, but I may have indicated by the way I worded what I did on Wednesday night that James, the writer of the book of James, was the same James that was John's brother. And if that's the case, if I did indicate that, that's not right. More than likely, he was not. It had to have been written. He probably died around 40-something, 42 to 44 A.D. James, the brother of John, did. He was one of the first ones that were killed. And so he probably was not the writer of the book of James. I wanted to make sure that I made that clear. If I may have not worded that correctly, or indicated that in the message on Wednesday night, I'm not sure. But anyhow, I wanted to get that cleared up. All right, let's look in Acts chapter 20. Before I do, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask for his help tonight, or this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day and your blessings. We thank you for grace and mercy. Lord, as we approach this text of Scripture this morning, we're going to be making a lot of application. But I pray that the Spirit of God would truly apply this text to each and every one of us, that you would give me liberty to preach today. Lord, my throat is doing much better, and I need your help today, not just physically, but spiritually. Lord, your touch is what makes the difference. You can touch your word and your truth, Lord, and you can apply it to the hearts of every individual in this building. If there's one here that's lost, I pray you'd save them before it's eternally too late. God, please do an eternal office work in all of our hearts today. If there's some that are cold and indifferent, I pray you'd draw them this morning. Open blinded eyes, God, help us to see where we are as individuals. And for what you do, we'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 20, I'll begin reading in verse number 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Did you hear that? I don't know what time he started, but he preached until midnight. And there were many lights. Can I just stop and say this? I just can't help it. A lot of times, it's not the message that's too long. It's that our religion is too short. People say, oh, the message too long. No. You go to parts of the world, they'll laugh at you if you don't preach 2 hours. They'll say you didn't do anything. You didn't give them anything. And they want preaching. They're wanting the Word of God. But our society and a lot of folks are so saturated and so uninterested with God's Word that a 10-minute little sermonette would do them. But anyhow, I guess I better move on before I kill it. Let's see, verse number 8. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while until the break of day. So he departed, and they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. Now just throw this in there. Paul preached till midnight, and after the incident with Eutychus, Paul goes back upstairs again to that place where they were in this upper room. And he talked until the daylight. So I don't know how long he preached till midnight, but when all this transpired, he spent the rest of the night talking to them, preaching to them, teaching them, probably taking questions from them. Now, how do you like that? That's an all-nighter. That's what I figured. I know we like to go on. We like to kid. But really, you know as well as I do, there's some serious truth in what we're talking about now. These people had a religion that wanted God's Word. They wanted to be fed. They wanted to know more about God. But you don't find many people that will stay till midnight, let alone stay all night while the preacher's talking, do you? There's not many left in America. There's some in other parts of the world that would sit there. They'll walk 5-6 miles to sit out in the heat and listen to the man of God preach. Boy, I tell you, when we stand before God, we've got a lot to give an account for in America. Well, anyhow, how do I even introduce this? I want to say in by way of introduction that the Bible says in verse 7, upon the first day of the week. Now, you remember even from John chapter 20 and verse 26 that the disciples met on the first day of the week. And that's where Jesus met with them. A week later, they were gathered together on the first day of the week, and Jesus meets with them again. The early church writers from Barnabas, Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Clement of Alexandria, Origen, and Cyprian, all with one consent, declare that the church observed the first day of the week. Now, Saturday was observed as a Sabbath to remind people of creation. You remember that? But the first day of the week was called the Lord's Day, and that was a reminder of resurrection. Revelation 1:10, John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." In 1 Corinthians 16:2, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Now, you've heard of the Seventh-day Adventists. Did you know that the Seventh-day Adventists believe the mark of the beast is those who go to church on Sunday? That's right. That's what they believe. I got a book. I can show you that. I didn't know who wrote the book until I read some of it, and it started becoming more and more clear as I read that. They believe that if you go to church on Sunday, that's the mark of the beast that Revelation talks about. Well, I don't know what they do with these passages that we've just talked about. The New Testament church, the early church fathers and writers and historians, they all said they met on the first day of the week. And guess what? That's why we're meeting today on Sunday. I want to examine this man by the name of Eutychus in this story. Every preacher in the country probably has preached him and used the title falling out of church, which is exactly what he did. He's sitting in the window, he goes to sleep, and he falls out of church, and he lands on hard ground, and he dies as a result of the fall. I guess to be different, now I don't have anybody's message, that is somebody else's title, but I got to thinking about the fact that he fell on hard times. He fell on hard ground. And I'd like to use that thought in the story of Eutychus this morning and apply it to our lives. I believe that the stories that God has given us in the Bible, the parables even Jesus used to teach lessons from them, and I don't think it's doing the Scripture wrong for us to examine this text and to apply the truths that you find here to you and I. And may we learn some lessons from Eutychus. He certainly fell on hard ground when he fell out of church. I want you to notice to begin with, I just have a few thoughts and I'll share them with you and I'll let you go. I want you to notice that old Eutychus was present on this day. His presence. In other words, at least he was there. He was at church on this day. And you understand that most people are like cars. They start missing just before they quit. That's the way it generally happens. But here old Eutychus is. He wasn't missing. He was there. One of the lessons that we can learn from that is that you can be there without being there. You can be there physically without being there spiritually. If Eutychus had been there in his mind and had been involved in his mind, in his heart, and I'll get to this in a few minutes, then he wouldn't have fell out physically if he'd have been there spiritually. It took a period of time to reach that condition. And he fell straight from in church to being out of church, but it didn't just happen like that. There were some things that transpired to get him into the shape that he was in that caused him to tumble out this window and to be killed. But at least he was there. Now think about this. First of all, the lateness of the hour and the long message certainly played into what was happening in Eutychus's life. Now think about this. Here is a group of people that are gathered together and they're listening and they're attentive, at least most of them apparently were, to the Apostle Paul. He's probably shucking the corn, as the old saying goes, and he's laying the Word of God out there and giving them the truth of God's Word, and even at midnight, they're attentive to what the man of God has to say. Most of them were. You know what that is? That's a rebuke to those of us who have a hard time being attentive to the man of God at noonday, let alone at midnight. Now, if you'd worked all day and you come in here at night, and I try to have sympathy on you at night on Wednesday night, you work all day and you're out in the hot sun, you come in here and it's cool and it's comfortable, I try to have a little pity on you and try not to keep you too long. I kept you a little long Wednesday night, but I'm not going to apologize for it. But nevertheless, I try to have some mercy on you and have some pity on you. And I know folks take medicines and that affects, you know, trying to stay awake and all that. I promise you, everybody in the building this morning is going to be sitting there going, trying to stay awake today. Nobody's going to be nodding today. You're going to do your best to stay awake today. I can put the best of them to sleep. But the thing about it is the message went on and on and on apparently, and the hour was getting later and later and later, and so you, in some sense you can understand how he reached the condition that he was in. There were many lamps in this place according to the text, and of course the warmth of those lamps probably didn't help anything. And then he was at a window seat, maybe had a little bit of cool fresh air coming in on him.
him. And you know, I got to thinking about the circumstance where he was, the warmth of the lamps and the cool air, and I thought, man, you know, the devil, he'll mix it up just right for you to get you out of church. The devil will do everything in his power. He knows the right ingredients to add to get you to fall out of church and to fall on hard times. Boy, I thought about a little of this and a little of that. And none of it by itself really adds up to a hill of beans. Most people that get out of church, they get out over nothing. Nothing significant. But the devil just has a way of putting a little of this in at the right time and then just adding a little of this at the right time and magnifying this other thing and holding up the magnifying glass and making this bigger than it really is. And man, we've heard of church splits over the color of the carpet in the house of God. And I mean, they're just all kinds of things that people will leave the house of God over. And most of the time, it adds up to nothing but the devil just adding the right ingredients to get folks just to fall out of church. A little warmth from the lamps, a little late hour, a little long preaching, a little disinterest in what's going on, a little cool air coming in from the outside, and the right combination hit, and old Eutychus found himself beginning to nod, and before he knew it, he was tumbling out the window to his death. But at least he was there. I got to thinking about the comfort that he was in as sitting in this window. He got satisfied where he was sitting. And of course he wouldn't have fell out if he hadn't have been comfortable. He wouldn't have fallen asleep if he'd have been uncomfortable. And so wherever it was, he perched up in that window. He got in just the right kind of position to get comfortable in church, if you will. You know what? That's what the devil wants. He wants you to get comfortable here. He wants you to get into the place where you're just satisfied where you are. And boy, when I got to thinking about that, hit my mind run back to the Old Testament, to old Samson, when he laid his head down in Delilah's lap. Man, he never slept so good as he did in old Delilah's lap. He was so comfortable there. You know what? Are you comfortable where you are today? If you're comfortable where you are, you're probably not very involved in what's going on. In other words, it's hard to sleep when you're busy. It's hard to fall asleep. Now, I realize this is physically, and I am making the application spiritually. But friend, there's been so many folks that get comfortable coming in and sitting on a church pew and listening to the preaching and enjoying the singing. And they go back out, and they never get involved, and they get comfortable in the position that they're in, and they never get involved in anything that's going on. That's the perfect ingredient for you to go to sleep and fall out of church. We're supposed to be busy, folks, working for the Lord. And sometimes I believe that our heart wants to be in, but our body is out. Robertson's word picture said that this instance describes a gradual process of going into a deep sleep. It says that it implies that Eutychus struggled bravely to try to stay awake, vainly hoping that Paul would finish, but he went on for more. In other words, he just kept on and kept on and kept on. And the thing about it is, you may be here physically this morning, but are you struggling spiritually to stay here? Is there that battle that's going on the inside of you? You're here physically, but you're struggling and you're battling spiritually. May the Lord help us today. Sometimes folks are there in the body and they're going through the motions, but they're not touched spiritually. The Spirit of God is not fresh to them and moving upon them and working in their heart and working in their life. And listen, what happens is when you get into that condition, you start getting careless. And that's exactly what happened to old Eutychus. First of all, I thought about he would have never fell out that window if he hadn't have been too close to the edge. I know I said this not too long ago, but Sammy Allen used to say, he's nervous like, he'd say, I'm too nervous to get close to the edge. I'm too nervous to walk the line. I'm too nervous to walk on the edge. But that's exactly where a lot of people that say they're saved, they are today. They're walking on the edge between being all the way in and being totally out. If he hadn't have been up close to that window, when he got in the shape that he got into, he wouldn't have fell out. I'll just go ahead and throw this out there. I was going to save it for a few minutes, but you know the reason he fell out? Because there was more of him hanging out than there was hanging in. Now I know that's common sense, but that's all right. And you know why people fall out of church when they go to sleep? Because they're more out than they are in. If they'd have been more of him in than there was out, he'd have fell in instead of out. Say amen right there. And most people wonder how they end up on hard times and end up on hard ground. And the fact of the matter is, one of the things was they got too careless and they got too close to the edge. So when they did stumble and fall, when something did get in their life, they fell out instead of falling in. You better be careful. Carelessness will get you. The devil's sly. He's a master deceiver. He's a master distractor. And what he'll do is he'll hold your attention on things and hold your attention away from where you are and where you're headed and how close you are to the edge. If Eutychus, when he started nodding, if he'd have just thought in his mind, man, I'm too close to the edge to be nodding. I better get away from here. He could have spared his own life. He wouldn't have fell on hard times if he had got a hold of himself and said, man, the shape I'm in, I sure don't need to be close to the edge. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how good a shape you think you're in. You don't need to be close to the edge.
Amen. Amen.
Because most of the time, we're not in as good a shape as we think we are. I just love the application of this text. You know what I thought about? When he fell into that deep sleep, he lost the power to help himself.
Right. Yes, sir.
Have you ever seen somebody that got to the place spiritually they were in, even though more of them was hanging out than they were in, and everybody knew it, but they got to the place where they couldn't help themselves spiritually?
Right.
Yes, sir. And you're wondering to yourself, why are they doing what they're doing? Why are they in the position that they're in? Why can't they see that they're hanging out and they're about to fall out of a 3-story window and fall on hard times? Why can't they see that? Because that's the trick of the devil. He gets us to the place where we can't help ourselves. We can't see the position that we're in. We can't see the danger of where we're headed. There was absolutely nothing that would prevent his falling. Once he reached that condition, there was no bars on the windows. There was no gate up there. There was nothing to catch him. He was in a dangerous position. But you know what I thought about that? What if somebody had noticed? What if somebody had looked over there and here's old Eutychus sitting in the window and he's more out than he is in, and old Eutychus starts nodding and somebody sees him starting to sink down? What if they'd have went over there and said, hey, brother, you better wake up. Hard times are ahead. Hey, brother, you better wake up. That's a long way down there. Hey, brother, you better realize there's more of you hanging out than they are in. You're about to get killed. Are you listening? You remember what Cain said when the Lord came? Am I my brother's keeper? Or when he was asked about that, am I my brother's keeper? We are our brother's keeper. We got a responsibility. But you know what I found out? When I'll speak about myself, I won't preach about nobody in my family and none of you. I'll speak to myself and they'll say amen. You know what I found out? When I get tired and I get sleepy, I get ill. I hope that microphone didn't pick that up. My wife said amen. You know what I found out most of the time? When people get in the shape Eutychus is in and you try to wake them up, they get mad at you.
Yes, sir.
You try to say something to them, leave me alone. I'm comfortable where I'm at. Hello. Am I telling it right tonight? Or this morning? I don't even know what day it is, but I know I'm telling the truth.
Come on, brother.
I may not know much, but I know the truth when I hear it. If somebody would have slid over there and punched old Utica, said, boy, you better wake up, you're about to fall on our times, he might have said, get out of here and just leave me alone. Ain't none of your business. It's me. It's my life. I'll fall if I want to. That's exactly what happens many, many times. Because you get into that kind of shape and you don't want nobody messing with you. You don't want nobody trying to wake you up. You don't want nobody trying to help you. Nobody trying to protect you. You just want to be left alone. When I get sleepy and tired, I just want you to leave me alone. Just don't fool with me. Don't say nothing to me. Just leave me alone. And that's the way people are spiritually. Verse number 9 says, the Bible says, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down. In other words, what was happening in his life was evident on the outside. People could see it. He didn't realize it. Have you ever been? I know most of us probably have been in a service or somewhere where you're falling asleep. And I mean, you're like a bobber in rough waves. You're trying to stay awake, trying to keep your head up. Some of you like that this morning. That's a hard position to be in. And there he was. If somebody had just noticed that he was sinking down, it wasn't obvious to himself apparently, but it would have been to somebody who was watching. You know what happens when a man gets in that kind of shape? The flesh is in control and not the spirit. Now I want you to think. Now I know I'm making a lot of application this morning, but I believe it's good application. When you get to the place where you are nodding and falling asleep instead of paying attention to what's going on, you know what's happening? The flesh is in control. The flesh is overpowering the spirit. The spirit may say, yeah, that's good preaching, Paul. And I'll get to that in a minute. And Paul, yeah, you're laying it out good, but the flesh is overcoming the spiritual man. And the flesh is beginning to rule and reign in the body. And that's what happens when you just about fall out of church. The flesh starts being in charge. And the spiritual starts becoming less important than the fleshly. The flesh begins to dominate. Now, I don't care how spiritual you are, the fleshly does affect the spiritual. If you don't believe that, you get a good case of the heaves. You get sick with a good virus and you're throwing up. See how spiritual you feel. You won't even know if you're saved or not. I ain't going to tell you what Ralph Jr. said again. I've told you before. But I will say this, the fleshly does affect the spiritual, but there are some things that we can do to protect ourselves. There's some preventative measures. We can walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We can feed the spiritual man and we can walk with God in fellowship with Him. And what that does is it causes the flesh not to be in charge, but the spiritual man to be in charge. But most of the world is walking according to the flesh. A lot of folks that sit on the church pew Monday through Saturday night are walking after the flesh. You don't have to live in sin to walk after the flesh. You just don't make any decisions that are spiritual. You don't consult God about what you do in life. That means you're walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. You're not being led of the Holy Spirit of God. You're letting the flesh lead you. You're going after the motto, whatever feels good, do it. Whatever I want to do, that's what I do. It's not what does God want me to do. It's not what is the Spirit leading me to do. It's not what does the Word tell me to do. But it's what do I want to do. That's fleshly. That's why a lot of folks won't go on visitation because it's too hot. You know why? They're walking after the flesh. You know why they'll stay sitting in the easy chair and watch Gravy Train on Wednesday night instead of coming to the house of God because they're too tired. You know why? They're walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. The majority of the people in this congregation were walking after the Spirit, or they wouldn't have listened to the man of God preach till midnight and then preach the rest of the night till daylight the next morning. You walk out of the flesh like that, you'd be snoring on a pew somewhere. Are we walking in the Spirit or in the flesh today? He was helpless before he ever fell out. I thought about this. The window is a place where things come in and things can get out. You better watch hanging around a window. Something might come in you don't want to come in. And something might go out you don't want to go out. I guarantee you, if old Eutychus had a bunch of little children, he wouldn't have got them over very close to that third story window. Why? Because they might have got out. You know why a lot of people get out? Because mom and daddy's living too close to the place they can get out. You know why a lot of children fall out to the things of this world? Because mom and daddy lead them toward the things of this world. And they get a taste of it and a hunger for it. I promise you, friend, if they don't find something at the house of God and something in mom and daddy's life, something at the home, the devil will give them something on the outside. I promise you that. You better watch hanging around the window. They were telling what's liable to come in. Then I thought about the consequences of old Eutychus. He fell from the third loft, it says. From the writers that I've read after means, he fell from the third story. And listen to this. I guarantee you he woke up on his way down. You know, when you're sitting in church or somewhere and all of a sudden you realize what you're doing. I think about that guy that back yonder years ago where they were sitting in old mountain church. He is bad to go to sleep during the preaching. He'd sit over there and fall plumb out going to sleep during the preaching. Well, one Sunday night service, the power went out while the preacher was preaching. He is over there asleep. Preacher just said, well, we'll just wait a few minutes in a moment of silence, see if the power comes back on. All of a sudden, that old boy, he wakes up and he jumped up and said, well, they went off and left me. I'm not trying to be a comedian this morning. But listen to this. He woke up after it was too late. I promise you, when he started out that window, he woke up. I guarantee you, he didn't sleep all the way to the ground. But it was too late to do anything about it then. You know what the Bible says? Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you better wake up before it's too late. Because when death comes your way or Jesus comes and you leave out of this world, friend, you'll plunge headlong off into hell. But it'll be too late then. Listen, there. You know, people say, well, there's unbelievers. They all go to hell. They go to hell, unbelievers. But when they get there, they're not unbelievers anymore. There's not one unbeliever in hell. Every person in hell today believes that Jesus is the Christ. They believe the Bible's the Word of God. They believe that God's on the throne. They believe in eternity in the lake of fire. They believe this morning. But guess what? It's too late now. They woke up, but they woke up too late. He woke up, but he woke up too late. All he could see was hard times ahead. All he could see was hard ground ahead. And friend, when you get to the place where you get in that shape spiritually and you fall out, you are bringing folks with you, I promise you. And all you'll be able to see is hard times ahead. Where are we this morning? You know what I thought? I've always heard people make the joke and say something like this. It's not the fall that killed him, but it was that sudden stop at the end of it. And that's true. In fact, as I was studying and thinking about that statement, you know what I thought? You better write this down. Sometimes the fall is fun. You don't believe the fall is fun? Go to Carowinds and see if they're not making millions of dollars on the fall. Go down to Six Flags and see if they're not making millions of dollars on the fall.
You know why? Because the fall is fun. It's that thing at the end that's the problem. It's that consequence at the end. It's that sudden stop. It's that hard ground. It's those hard times that you hit on. That's the problem. If every one of our young folks would remember, the fall is fun, but that's not the end of it. You'll realize the danger there. The devil wants you to think the fall is fun. There's an excitement in that fall that they didn't ever have before. There's an excitement in sin that you can't find on the church pew. Are you listening? That's why so many of our young people are being trapped and lured away out of the house of God. Because there is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. Because when you're falling, you're having fun. But at the end of every fall is a sudden stop. And the theme parks have made their millions letting people enjoy the fall, but try to get by with that sudden stop at the end. But when it comes to spiritual things, friend, there's no getting by that sudden stop at the end. There's a way that seems right unto a man, the Bible says, but the end thereof, the ways of death. That sudden stop at the end, that hard time, that hard ground at the end, that's where the problem lies. Listen to this now. The problem was with him and not the church and not the man in the pulpit. You listening? Paul was one of the greatest men spiritually that's ever walked the face of the earth. Eutychus went to sleep and fell out on him. I promise you, Paul was laying the meat on the table. He was putting milk on the table. And friend, he was putting it out there, preaching some of the best messages that men have probably ever heard. Paul was preaching to them. And yet he fell out on him. You know what some people would say? Well, I'm just not being fed. And sometimes that's true. I'll be honest. Sometimes that's true. If I was going to a place where the man of God wasn't ever feeding me and giving me nothing from the Word of God, I'd cut a trail too. But in Eutychus' case, he couldn't blame what happened to him on Paul. I promise you, Paul was putting it out there. Eutychus couldn't have said, well, he just couldn't hold my attention. Are you listening? You ever heard that? He just couldn't hold my attention. That's because your mind's on everything in the world and not on the things of God. Your mind's being entertained by the carnal things of this world and not the things of God. You know what happens? When people start falling out of church, they're looking for excuses. They'll blame it on everything and everybody, and they'll blame it on the window and the way the architect of the building, the way he built that window and the way he built the structure, and he'll blame it on that old boring Paul, and if he'd have just quit 2 hours sooner, this wouldn't have never happened. And pointing fingers. But the truth is, Eutychus fell out because of what Eutychus did. And when you fall out, there's hard times ahead. There's hard ground ahead. Don't wait until it's too late to help yourself, because the consequences are devastating. Can you imagine what it was like for him to hit that ground? I don't know if he was even conscious after he hit the ground or not. He might have been for a few minutes till he died. I don't know. But the consequences are devastating. The Bible says, and he was taken up dead. Who wrote the book of Acts? Better be careful. And what was Luke? Yep. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and Luke was a physician. If anybody would have known whether he was dead or not, it would have been Luke. Luke said he was taken up dead. I agree with Luke. He was dead. I believe this is a miracle that took place here. A miracle much like Elijah or Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 4. Life was restored to him.
Verse 10 said, and Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. I don't think Paul said, no, he ain't dead, he's alive. I believe there was a miracle that took place here. Luke didn't say he was taken up for dead. They thought he was dead. No, he was taken up dead. That's what it says. I want you to think about this. Life was restored to him. Recovery was made. But he couldn't do it himself. But God could. He couldn't get himself out of that. He was dead. He couldn't get himself out of that shape. He was probably broke all to pieces. Bad shape. God healed him. His head may have, I'm not trying to be gruesome, his head may have been busted open. You fall three stories, maybe on a cobblestone road, you're going to be in bad shape. But God healed him. He couldn't do it himself, but God healed him. Listen, you may have fallen on hard times yourself, but I'll tell you, there is a chance of a restoration. God will forgive. God will cleanse. And hey, he may have had scars for the rest of his life as a result of that fall. But God is a God of a second chance. Thank God he is. I love that scripture in Jonah where the word of the Lord came the second time unto Jonah. God is able. Revelation 2:5 says, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at the first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. That don't even sound like the right version of the Bible. That's not. I got that out of, off my iPad, I think, put that in my notes. I better read that again. I apologize for that. I thought that thing had the right version in it. I'm going to have to get rid of that one. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Lord, forgive me for using the wrong version of the Bible. But listen to this in verse 12. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. You know what happened? The people rejoiced. He recovered and the people rejoiced over that. And they were comforted by that. Hey, they didn't say, well, he shouldn't have done that. They didn't look down their nose. No, they rejoiced and they got comforted of the fact that he was restored alive again. You know, we better be careful the way we look at others that have fallen. Because we'll be next if we're not. Take heed to yourself. We better take heed to ourselves and the way that we look at those that have fallen and fallen out of church and fallen on hard times. Why? Because we may be the next ones. And as a matter of fact, all of us have failed in some manner or fashion. I want you to notice this and I'll close. The Bible says, Paul preached unto them in verse 7, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. When did this happen, apparently? At midnight. He fell out at midnight. You ever thought about this? It was midnight when the death angel passed through Egypt and killed the firstborn. It was midnight when the cry was made that woke the sleeping virgins. You remember them, the 10 virgins? Midnight is a dangerous hour in the Bible, it seems, but midnight is also a halfway point. It's a time when decisions are made. It can be a turning point, if you will. You remember Paul and Silas? They were whipped in prison. You remember what time they started singing? They said, we're not going to let this get us down. This is going to be a turning point. And they started singing. You know what? At midnight, it can go either way.
Midnight can be a dangerous time, but it also can be a time of rejoicing and joy and moving forward. And here's what I'm going to leave you with. You may be in danger of falling out of church. Only you know how interested and involved you are in what goes on in our services and the ministry. Wednesday night, Sunday school, Sunday night. When you start making allowances, little bitty allowances, they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you get in worse shape than you realize. And here's what I thought. If you'll come and fall on this altar, it might keep you from falling on hard times. You come fall on this altar and ask the Lord to help you and restore you and touch you spiritually and help you to get involved and not to be comfortable where you are. It might keep you from hitting hard ground one of these days. It might keep you from falling out of church. Let's stand to our feet today with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Kelly's coming to the piano. Folks are coming to the altar. God spoke to your heart, I'd ask you to come. What kind of allowances have you made in your own life? While these are praying, won't you come this morning? You letting the devil get in? What kind of excuses have you made? Gonna fall on hard times if you're not careful. While she's playing and these are praying, maybe you're here today and you're not saved. Before you fall off into hell, you better wake up and come to Christ. If you're not saved today, you make your way to this altar. You just acknowledge to me if you want me to pray with you. I'll help you. If you're a lady, I'll get one of these ladies to pray with you. If you need help today, won't you come? You're going to wake up in hell when it's too late. Falling eternally in the bottomless pit. It'll be too late then. You to ask Eutychus before he fell asleep, fell out, if he was okay, you know what he said? I'm all right. I'm doing good. If you'd ask him an hour before he plunged to his death and fell on hard times, if you'd ask him, how you doing spiritually? He would have said, I'm doing all right. I'm here. Trying to listen to the message, the good preaching, Paul. I'm doing okay. How interested are you in what's going on? How involved are you in what's going on? You got more hanging out than you do hanging in? You young folks, you more after the world than you are the things of God? Torn between the two? It's a dangerous place to be. While these are praying, won't you come this morning? Saved, won't you come? Ask the Lord to save you today. I certainly appreciate your good attention this morning. I trust that you have done what the Lord would have you to do today. Let's bow our heads, if we could, for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you for your blessings. Please seal the message in our hearts. Bring us back at the appointed hour. Do that in us that needs to be done. God, Lord, I really feel like there may be some here that are asleep and they're in worse shape than they realize, more danger of falling out than they realize. God, I pray that you'd awaken them today. God, that you'd help us, Lord, to realize what we need. And for what you do, we'll thank you now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.